KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 8:04, we have a clear to partly cloudy sky, 12 degrees above zero on Atlantic. We look for skies to be mostly sunny here today with a high of 35. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by First National Bank. They're locally owned and proud to be your full-service bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender. In area news, the Griswold School District's Board of Education on Monday night approved the transfer of school property to the City of Elliott for a wetland project that was held following a public hearing on the matter. Superintendent Dana Kunze said Tuesday that the marshy land offers an ideal natural means of filtering nitrates out of the city's drinking water. He said also that more work needs to be done before any action can be taken on redistricting for school board districts. Dana said he'll need to hold additional discussions with the AEA and University of Iowa as to how those districts are formed before the process can move forward.
I thought we were off to a real good start on it, but on a second look, I may have to kind of scrap what we've done and start over. But we still have plenty of time, and it's still the direction that the board wants to head.
If the Griswold School District were to redistrict its Board of Education, there would be four geographical districts and three board members elected at large instead of the current seven different districts and one person from each district on the board.
It gets kind of confusing from there to figure out who stays on the board, who has to run for re-election, but you can't determine any of that until the districts are actually set. And that's one of the services that the University of Iowa provides.
The University of Iowa provides those services to the district under an agreement reached earlier. Basically, it means the process is only in the formulative stages right now. In other business, the Griswold School Board Monday night approved Kunze requesting from their bonding agent a means of maximizing funds for various projects instead of just paying for the middle school high school roofing project alone.
I will be asking Piper Jaffrey to put together a bonding scenario that allows us to borrow against our penny sales tax into the future on approximately $2.2 million so that money is available for projects now.
He says there's a long laundry list of things they want to do, and unfortunately the list is longer than the money is, therefore it will still take some determination to figure out which projects are a priority. Dana says they still have to live within their budget, of course. News time is 8:07.
At First National Bank, we strive to make your banking experience as simple and convenient as possible. If you would like to enjoy the benefit of banking anytime, anywhere, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, without an interruption in your busy day, sign up for our free online banking. Signing up is easy. Just visit our website and click on Enroll to try our online banking demo for a trial run. Locally owned, locally active, and proud to be your bank. In Fontenelle, Greenfield, Messina, Oneida, and Correctionville. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Elsewhere in Western Iowa news, the Missouri River levees that were damaged by last year's floodwaters remain vulnerable, with spring a little over more than 2 months away. Congress has appropriated money for emergency repairs, and more money is promised. Colonel Robert Brooke, commander of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers Omaha District, says they're focused on repairing the critical sections of levee first.
You remember, most of those levees held up very well through the flood of 2011. So, you know, we know where our greatest weaknesses are, and that's where we're putting our greatest strength.
Floodwaters breached some levees in western Iowa and eastern Nebraska, damaged others, and put a great strain on all the levees downstream. Rook says that it'll take months to restore the basin's levee system to where it was in early 2011.
We probably need a full year to get things completely restored back to pre-flood conditions. But, you know, we, in our mind, and with our sponsors, we have ideas as to what the critical things are that need to be ready for as early as March 1st when we consider the runoff season to begin and where we could be in some danger of rising waters.
Kim Thomas, chief of the Corps' readiness branch in Omaha, acknowledges the Missouri River levee system remains vulnerable.
Those levees are definitely in critical condition. You know, we're going to get them closed up. We're going to get the breaches closed up. We're going to get all the critical repairs done. But there is still a lot to go there. We had a lot of seepage concerns that we have to go through and get geotech investigation on, do analysis, do design.
Thomas said the first order of business is to repair the sections of levee that are most severely damaged.
Those pieces will be fixed. It's the under foundation seepage issues that require extensive analysis, and that takes time.
Some estimates indicate it could be late this year or even 2013 before repairs to the levee system are complete. Some Iowa legislators say a special nursing home for elderly sex offenders and other criminals may be needed. State Representative Helen Miller, a Democrat from Fort Dodge, said the state will need a facility where, quote, these individuals will be contained. She made her statement when the issue was raised at a Fort Dodge forum. A sex offender who was released to a Pomeroy nursing home was accused of sexual contact with a resident there. Governor Terry Branstad has proposed a law requiring nursing homes to notify families of residents when a sexual offender moves in. Last Saturday, Representative Tom Shaw, a Republican from Lorenz, said stronger measures are needed. He says the state might have to buy a nursing home and employ personnel trained to deal with sex offenders. Lawmakers and tax committees are considering changing an economic development tool that some say puts an unfair burden on property taxpayers and can be misused. Members of the Senate Ways and Means Committee heard a presentation Tuesday on tax increment financing, or TIF. That's a system in which cities and counties can pay for infrastructure work in specified areas by dedicating future tax revenue to those projects. Some lawmakers say the practice, which was put in place in 1969, has been crucial to redeveloping urban areas, but others say the tool is being misused. One proposal would limit the manner and duration of the practice, as well as strengthen reporting requirements. And Governor Terry Branstad said he told the Cedar Rapids Gazette editorial board that he would definitely consider signing a bill that eventually raises the state's gas tax, but first implements a series of cuts in the Iowa Department of Transportation. Governor Branstad has already asked for $50 million in cuts for the in the DOT's budget, money that could be redirected to road projects. DOT Director Paul Trombino isn't revealing when that $50 million plan will be released to the public. Taking a look at national news headlines at this hour, snow has started to fall in the Pacific Northwest, and forecasters are now calling for 3 to 6 inches in Seattle. Kids in the Seattle area, as well as other cities, are staying home from school today in anticipation of a major storm. Airports in Seattle and Portland, Oregon, have canceled some flights. New Jersey Governor Chris Christie says Republican presidential candidate Mitt Romney should release his tax returns sooner rather than later. Christie, who has endorsed Romney, said that it's always better to have full disclosure. Romney's taxes have emerged as an issue in the days before the South Carolina primary. More than $300 million in emergency assistance will be available to 33 states and Puerto Rico to help them recover from an unusually intense year of natural disasters. Utah and Missouri will receive the most disaster aid of about $109 million total. Last year, Missouri suffered months of flooding from the Missouri River. And soon, local schools and not just states will be able to compete in the Obama administration's Race to the Top education competition. Education Secretary Arne Duncan will appear at a U.S. Conference of Mayors meeting today in Washington to encourage those mayors to get local schools to participate. Already, billions of dollars have been awarded to winning states that are making education reforms. News time is 8:12.
First National Bank is locally owned and proud to be your full-service bank. They have the expertise needed to provide you excellent service with a great selection of banking and investment needs. They have a complete line of lending services available, and they offer insurance sales. At First National Bank, you'll be greeted with a friendly face at the teller's window as well as each special desk. First National Bank in Fontanelle, Greenfield, Messina, and Anita, where you'll get the most banking service for the least cost. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
In our funeral announcements, Bud Schultz, age 89, of Greenfield, died Saturday. Funeral services for Bud Schultz will be this morning at 10:30 at the Greenfield United Methodist Church. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. Margaret Mary Kilpatrick, age 96, of Harlan, died Thursday. A mass of Christian burial service for Margaret Kilpatrick will be today at 11 a.m. at St. Michael's Catholic Church in Harlan. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Audrey Andreessen, age 85, of Guthrie Center, died Saturday. Funeral services for Audrey Andreessen will be held tomorrow at 10 a.m. at the Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Guthrie Center. Twig Funeral Home in Guthrie Center has arrangements. Frances May Hansen, age 94, of Exira, died Sunday. Funeral services for Frances Hansen will be held Thursday at 10:30 at the Exira Christian Church. Kessler Funeral Home in Exira has the arrangements. And Clyde David McMullen of Stewart, age 90, died Monday. Funeral services for Clyde McMullen will be this Saturday at 10:30 at the Zion Lutheran Church in Dexter. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Dexter has the arrangements. Our news this hour was brought to you by First National Bank, with locations in Fontanelle, Greenfield, Messina, Anita, and Correctionville. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.